This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 12th. March 12th.
What are numbers?
I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Jenny. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm great, Taryn. How are you? I'm enjoying this March 11th, 12th already, so.
Yeah, it's March 12th. we are here to update you on everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds yesterday, and let's get into it. It was day 10 in the Big Brother Canada 7 house, and Adam did not use the veto. Didn't happen. Yeah. Apparently Maki in his speech said something dumb like I'm coming after Adam or something like that.
What an excellent move in your, you know, veto speech to the veto holder. You know, call out something to do with that person that has the power. Like
it's
what a
what strange, an it's strange how often that happens, actually.
I know.
Thinking about it.
Like, I don't know what Maki is thinking in that this person has won two competitions already. And just because, like, they might not win another, that's not an absolutely terrible move. And everyone continues to talk about this for the rest of the day. Like, Maki is just digging his grave and he did not do himself any favors during the veto meeting. So,
Yes. So Adam is going to talk with Damien, and Damien lets Adam know that, you know, Kira's telling me that they have the votes to stay. I don't know if that's true or not, but look, I just want to be in the majority. So I don't know what's going on. Adam says, yeah, no, it might just be talk. It might not be true, but don't worry. I'll let you know on Wednesday where the votes are lying, and then you can vote accordingly.
Adam really loves this like puppet master role where he's like, I'll tell you when the time comes. Like,
yeah.
And like Damien and Eddie, you guys talked about both of them on the roundtable last night. Like they both do a good job of just like being that beta to someone like Adam being like, yeah, man, just like, let me know. Like, I just want to be with the house. So that's good because like, that Adam loves to be in control, and he's asserting all sorts of dominance with trying to say what's happening with the vote and leaving it to the last minute, even though he knows pretty much how he wants it to go at this point.
Yeah, I really feel like he should be trying to include Damien a little more. I feel like leaving him in the dark this much, not entirely necessary, but it's working so far.
Yeah, I mean, Damien's someone that he should want to pick up. Like, I know from Adam's perspective, he doesn't feel like he needs those numbers and that he's well insulated. But Damien is someone that he should be doing a better job of making them feel important and valued. And I don't think that he does a really great job of that at all. So, I mean, someone else is going to swoop in and pick that kind of person up at some point. So,
yeah. Adam also talks with Kira and lets them know about his talk with Damien. He also tells them, they tell him that they saw Mackie and Steph whispering last night that they were probably talking about him and how they want him out.
Yeah, they're going to go after Adam and Sam, so better get your alert on because you cannot break up everyone's favorite showmance, Adam and Sam. Mm.
And this connection between Mackie and Kiki and Steph is really going to start to drag their games down because Adam is not pleased to hear this and to hear that they are still trying to keep Mackie in the game. And he's really going to start to be like, you know, not only did Kiki say she didn't vibe with me, was that it? But now they're trying to keep Mackie in the game and they're conspiring with him. This is no good.
Yeah. And it's really terrible because it also results in Adam wanting to do his absolute best to leave them out of the vote. And to basically just like embarrass them and make them really feel like they're on the outs. So, this is not great. I mean, I feel like it's already starting to get back to them that the tides are turning, but
well, it should be, should be getting to them, but they're still completely in the dark at this point.
I mean, like, we'll get to it later, but like people like later on in the night, Eddie's basically trying to be like, you know, oh, I don't know if it's as locked as you think it is. This is just not the hill to die on over Mackie, and the way that they're alienating themselves from Adam, like you have to stroke his ego and give him what he wants because he, whether you like it or not right now, he's kind of running things. And the more you do to separate yourself like that, we're already seeing it happen while they're becoming more separated from them. And Adam is, you know, literally saying that he doesn't want them to know about the plan so that they're on the outside of the vote.
Yes. Sam is going to have a conversation with Eddie, and Eddie has a lot of these conversations where they're just like, hey, we're safe with each other, right? If I win, I'm not putting you up. If you win, you're not putting me up. Eddie says again, he would like Kira to leave. They've never really talked to him until it was time to campaign, and he knows that they were talking about him prior to that. So, talking about him. So, you know, he wants them gone. And Sam mentions, hey, yeah, but, you know, Mackie's been talking about, he told Dane that he might put him up next week. We all know he's going after Adam, so Adam's probably going to make sure that Mackie leaves. And Eddie's like, well, you know, if Mackie leaves, Adam's probably next. Think about it. You know, Mackie's almost like, you know, a distraction, a shield in front of Adam. And Sam is like, yeah, I don't know about that.
It almost seems like she's kind, and you can't tell if it's, she's just giving lip service to Eddie, but she seems like she's kind of receptive, like, oh yeah, I guess that might be a thing.
Yeah.
And then like Adam strolls into the room and it's like, there's no hope for that conversation going any further anyway, whether Sam could even be listening to that or not.
I don't think she was.
Yeah, probably not. Like, Adam is following her everywhere all the time. So like, it's very impossible for her to have a proper conversation without his influence anyway. Well, so.
Yeah. She's basically like, oh yeah, man, I could go either way, but like, we know she is not going either way. She's been firmly anti-Mackie
and
for a while.
Yeah, and she identifies to Eddie that, like, you know, Kira staying is better for her personal game, and that she understands that Mackie staying might be better for Eddie's personal game, but they kind of just keep doing this, like, cyclical thing, being like, but you know what, like, you know, we're good, and whatever happens, we're good, we've got each other, so... Yeah, it's not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah. So Adam does then talk to Sam. He says his plan next week now is he wants to nominate Damien and Kiki. Kiki, because she told him that she doesn't vibe with him and she's now trying to keep Mackie in the house. And then once he nominates those two, he's going to backdoor Kaylin. That's the plan. Sam says, yeah, I'll do the same. Sounds good. I like it. So that's the plan. It's the plan for now. Kiki has a conversation with Damien, the block buddies for next week.
unbeknownst.
Yeah. She is asking about the votes and says, hey, just so you know, the majority is voting Kira out. And he's like, yeah, that's what I've heard, kind of. But yeah, I'm down. If that's the majority, that's what I'll be doing. So we're good. And Kiki feels good about that. So Kiki continues to feel like, yeah, we're good. The majority is obviously keeping Kira.
Nothing better than talking to this, like, one of the people that is, you know, not really in on the plan and is just being strung along and given information at the last minute. And it's just saying yes to whoever talks to them, like not the person you're going to get the information out of. And Damien is just going to say whatever he needs to at this point, because he probably can't keep track of what the actual plan is and is, like I said, a yes man at this point, which is good for his game.
Mm-hmm. Adam talks to Chelsea and lets her know. He also talks to Anthony about the same thing, but he's letting people know, Kiki and Steph, they're really starting to bug me. They are not playing ball with us. People like Kira and Damien are playing ball with us. They want in, whereas Kiki and Steph, who are supposed to be part of this 8-person thing, are actively working against us. That's no good. We should essentially switch them out with people like Damien and Kira. And in fact, Chelsea, let's leave them out of the vote. Let's just not even tell them which way the vote's going. It will help isolate them and, you know, prove that they are on the outside now. And, you know, that would be the ideal scenario here.
Yeah. And like I was saying earlier, that this is, you know, they've just made things worse for themselves through this whole Mackie saving campaign. And, you know, they're probably going to find out, like, it's only Tuesday. So there's a lot of time. And like I already said, Eddie's trying to hint at them that maybe the people that they think that they have, they don't have, without saying who those people are. I still feel like come Thursday, they're going to be in on the vote, but the damage has been done in terms of it, like, you know, separating themselves from the eight that I've never really seen as a solid eight anyway. So I don't even know why that's a thing anymore. Those, like, Kiki and Steph spent all of their time together and never with any of the other people. Like, occasionally with, like, Anthony, I'll see them with, but, like, I don't see those two ever talking with those other people. So how could this ever be an eight anyway?
Yeah, I saw this morning a post on the Big Brother subreddit that I really enjoyed, which
is it the princess spinning thing? Yeah.
Kiki and Steph's game in a nutshell. And it's just, I think they said it was from a Barbie movie, and it's just like two princesses just like looking at each other and spinning around in circles, like, and like having, like, fun.
Yeah, they're like, I think the headline was something like the game revolve, or like spinning around like Steph and Kiki. And like they're like mimicking each other. I think it's like a play on the fact that like they're the twins, and then like the world is like spinning around them.
It's pretty accurate.
it's funny.
Because they're
too bad, because like they're, I really like those
exactly
two,
like they're, oh, they're great. They're just like, they're so in their own worlds, and
they're gonna be best friends forever, but they're not in a great spot in this game. Yeah. Like, they've done a great job of creating a bond between the two of them, but that's not done anything good for their game.
They've also done a great job of creating their own bubble and not letting anyone pierce that bubble, despite how hard people are trying.
Yeah.
So Anthony and Eddie have one of those conversations again that Eddie likes to have, where it's like, hey, we're good, right? we're not coming after each other. We have each other's backs. We're all good. Anthony also then talks to Dane, and they have one of their conversations about how obsessed they are with Sam and how they need her to go.
How obsessed Adam is with Sam.
Adam is obsessed with Sam.
It's not them
that's
obsessed with Sam. They're just, Adam's obsession with Sam is the problem. And like
he mentions her name in every conversation.
He says he's gonna mow her lawn. This mowing the lawn comment comes up all the time. I don't know if that's some sort of innuendo, but.
Oh, man. So, I mean, really, one of the issues here is that they would prefer to work with Kaylin over Sam. That, you know, the Sam versus Kaylin thing, it's kind of like they don't really see it this way. But how it's shaping out is really that it's more like Adam is siding with Sam versus Kaylin and Anthony and Dane side with Kaylin over Sam. And so they're mad that Sam has enough influence over Adam that Sam is going that Adam is going with Sam over Kaylin, and but it turns into something much more, and I think there's a lot of weird jealousy involved and all of that stuff. But really, it comes down to this war between Sam and Kaylin, and Dane and Anthony are more inclined to take Kaylin's side because they have a closer relationship with her,
and they really seem like they want to weaponize like Kaylin against Sam. I don't even see like Kaylin and Sam as much of like, it almost feels like a manufactured rivalry. And I do feel like that Dane and Anthony are kind of like feeding this through Kaylin to be against Sam and Adam, but it's more so Sam because I see more tension between Kaylin and Adam, like, but it's,
well, that's,
they're using Sam as the, like,
yes,
as the figurehead that Kaylin needs to go against.
Yeah, because Kaylin wants to target Adam and they're trying to maneuver her to target Sam instead. And through trying to get her to go after Sam by saying that Sam is the one manipulating Adam, they've bought into their own BS and are now like, Sam is so dangerous. She manipulates Adam. She does need to go.
Which would be a great move in like a couple of weeks. But in the current climate of the game, like it's a great strategy if it's the right move, but it's not. I mean, it's the coldest take of 2019 that, you know, trying to get rid of Sam right now for the Pretty Boys that faction of the Pretty Boys is not the smartest thing to do. So,
yeah.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
So Eddie is going to talk with Steph and Kiki, and this is the conversation, man. So Eddie is like, hey, you know, I'm not so sure that Mackie has the votes to stay here. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's obviously the majority.
We've got like seven. I think they said seven.
We've got seven, yeah, votes. We definitely have us two, you, Anthony, Damien, and Kaylin. That's six right there. Those are locked votes. And Eddie's like, so many people. I feel like Eddie's role in this game is to have conversations with people where they are like, hey, we have each other's backs. And also to have conversations with people who tell him wrong things. And he's like, I don't know about that, yeah, but they don't listen to him. So he's like, yeah, I don't know, because I've talked to one of those three people you just mentioned, Anthony, Damien, and Kaylin, and one of them has been, at least one of them, has been pretty sketchy about giving me a straight answer with the vote. I believe he is talking about Damien, who said that he would just vote with the majority, and Eddie, of course, knows that the majority might not be there for Mackie to stay, so I think he's trying to warn them about Damien, but these two think that he's talking about Kaylin.
Mama K.
Yes.
Of course. Obviously, that's the person that's not committed to keeping Mackie. Like,
So they become convinced that Kaylin is the mastermind behind the vote flip to try and evict Mackie, despite the fact that she is the one of the people pushing hardest to keep him. They now think that she is some kind of manipulator trying to get Mackie gone. They indicate as much to Eddie, who is like, why do you think it's Kaylin? That's not really what I was trying to say.
Eddie is making it so like straightforward too, and he's like, so what is it about Anthony and Damien that you guys trust so much? And like he's literally trying to say, well, if you think it's Kaylin, and we're talking about, I think they brought up those three names. So Kaylin, Anthony, and Damien. Mm-hmm. And then Eddie's just like, what is it about, you know, you really feel like you've got those two, right? And they're like, yeah. Like they said that they were going to keep Mackie, and that's what they said. But Kaylin, it's got to be her, because she never absolutely said that. It's like, no, she didn't absolutely say that, because it's been obvious that that's her agenda this whole week. Like, she's not working with Kira. She's working with Mackie. Like, and that's what they're clinging to. That's the message that they think that Eddie is sending. Like,
Eddie's trying to get this across without throwing anyone under the bus and naming names so that it might get back to him. And so when he sees that they're thinking it's Kaylin, he's like, I don't know. That's not exactly what I'm trying to say. But I think that they think at that point that he's just trying to make sure that they don't think, like, he's trying to backtrack. Like, they think that he did indicate that it was Kaylin, and now that they realized it was Kaylin, he's trying to be like, no, it's not her, because he doesn't want to have named her. And so they're like, we figured it out. You're trying to tell us it's not, but we know, we read between the lines, we know what's happening, it's Kaylin. It's bad.
Yeah, and like that's so terrible for Eddie too, because like he's good with Kaylin, like, and this is not the person that he needs anyone perceiving like him to be throwing under the bus. So this is just disastrous, and I really do feel like Eddie's like wishy-washiness with, like, you know, not naming names and just trying to hint, like, I feel like he's just, so many players could not get away with that. And I don't know if it's just that, like, Steph and Kiki are just taking it and are, you know, deciding to read into it the way that they are. But I feel like this is incredible that Eddie gets away with, like, trying to give them this, like, half information and being like, you're getting colder.
I mean, I think he's doing well with it. I think that he is correct that, especially with the game he's playing, he doesn't have influence over people, which also means he doesn't need to be naming names. That's sort of the position he's in, and he's not dumb enough to be naming names in a spot where it won't make a difference if he does. And so that keeps him in a place where he is able to be good with so many different people on an individual basis, because he's not naming names and they do feel like they can trust him with information, while at the same time, of course, you know, it's he doesn't have that level of influence over them, but he's safe and for now.
He also has this way of being honest and upfront, without it coming off as like too blunt and aggressive, because in this conversation he actually acknowledges that, like, Kiki and like doesn't really talk game to him directly very much, and like they have like a, you know, like a good conversation, being like, and where she's like, I'm sorry, like I'm gonna talk to you more about this, like we'll connect more on this. And like, I just feel like in so many other players, if they said that same thing, it comes off as like, oh, are you trying to say that you're against me now, like, because we don't talk game? And so like this is where he just has this way of saying, you know, we're not as close as I like as we should be, and you're not telling me things, and that makes it harder for me to tell you things. And that is received so much better than it would, I think, from, you know, a lot of players.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge difference between how people are reacting to Eddie and how people are reacting to Kiki. They're both trying to keep Mackie in the game and evict Kira. Eddie has basically told half the house at this point he wants Kira gone, and he will be voting to evict Kira. However, he will, if it's a big majority, he will ultimately go with them. But he's basically said, yeah, this is what I want, this is what I'm doing. Whereas Kiki is also very much like, I want Mackie to stay, I want Kira gone, and people are pissed at her. They don't like that. They think that she is being stubborn and forceful. And so it's really a matter of how they're approaching the situation, and Eddie is doing it very well. Kiki is doing it very poorly. And you're right here that Eddie talks to Kiki after Steph leaves this conversation, and he's like, look, I thought we were working together, but you never talked to me, which is the exact criticism I've had of Steph and Kiki from the start, which is that they don't talk to anyone outside of themselves. And he's pointing it out, like, you don't talk to me anymore. And she's like, she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I will definitely talk to you more. I'm so sorry that, that this happened. And she goes as far as to say that, like, look, hey, I want Mackie to stay. And even if it's a lopsided vote against him, I want to be a vote for him. It will prove how loyal I am, she thinks. But here's the thing. This is the Dan Gieseling move. It doesn't matter if it's the entire house. I will vote to keep this person because then people will know how loyal I am. But the problem is that she's never had a deep connection with Mackie. Nobody's ever really seen her as like the person who's closest to Mackie. They saw her as somebody that was with them. And so if she actively votes for Mackie to stay, despite everyone else wanting Mackie to leave, it won't be seen as loyalty. It will be seen as betrayal. I do not think this is going to work out the way that Kiki thinks it will. And I don't even think that she's trying the Dan Gieseling move. I think that she's just being stubborn.
Yeah. And it's not showing loyalty to any people that have influence too. Like who is she proving this to people like, you know, Eddie or, you know, Kaylin, that she's the kind of person that, you know, if she's in with someone, she'll stick with them, even though they know it's a sinking ship. Like, if that doesn't send the right signal, if in that move, you're also pissing off people that you were also supposed to be aligned with and they have more numbers than you. Like, all that's going to do is put you on to more of an island and make you an easy, you know, pawn or target. It does not seem like a Dan Gieseling move at all. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So Steph, when she leaves this conversation, goes to talk to Mark, because they need to make sure that, hey, if they don't have one of those three votes, then they need to get at least one other one. And Mark is somebody that they could talk to. Steph asks him, well, you know, what's going on with the vote? And he's like, hey, it's flipping back and forth. I don't really know what's going on with it. But look, I'm going with the majority. I'm going to do what Dane wants. And Steph is like, okay, but Dane wants to keep Mackie. That's what he wants, right? So what's the issue? Why is it? What do you mean flipping? He's like, I don't know. I'm just going to do what Dane wants. That's what I'm doing. And she's like, well, but what's? I don't understand. Then what? Like, he's like, look, wait, maybe we should go talk to Dane together. Maybe we should talk to Dane. Maybe you should talk to Dane.
It's all on Dane. Let's pass this buck. Like, I don't want to. Do not want to touch this. Dane will sort it out. Let's just blame it on him.
He does not handle this very well.
No, especially, it's so messy looking.
Ugh. Especially for somebody that should be working with Steph. He's avoiding the question a lot and just placing it all on Dane. And this is going to sketch Steph out. They end up having, they have a Wendy's meal. They have, and then they have a prom.
When did the prom? Because then they were talking about the prom being another night. Like, it was like this weird some sort of prom.
Yeah, party was, thing.
Yeah, they got
alcohol.
I was very excited for them.
Yes. And so with the alcohol, some of them got a little tipsy, which I do believe contributed towards a little bit of the drama that is to come, which started with Kaylin talking to Adam. I don't know what she was talking about or what her goal was, but she starts the conversation kind of talking about like, hey, we're enemies, but we could work together and it would be great. And like, wouldn't it be so good if that happened? And Adam's just like, but I like, aren't you coming for me? And she's like, no, I didn't say that. I told Chelsea that, but it was a lie. And so now I know that Chelsea has been spreading my lies. Chelsea is a liar. And
it really like, goes in on Chelsea. Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess. And she's like, I know you were coming for me because Corey has told me things, and Corey is also a liar. Corey is so sketchy. Corey needs to go too. And Adam's like, oh, okay. So Corey betrayed my trust. Good to know. I don't like how this is going. And it's just this whole thing. And they get into this confrontation about like, hey, so you're coming after me, but no, I'm only coming after you because I heard from this person that you were coming after me. And then it's like, well, but you were coming after me before that. And it's just this weird, weird thing that goes in circles for a long time. And it attracts some attention, from some of the other house guests. So, that's really the biggest impact it has, is that other people see that this is going on. Adam realizes that Corey kind of, said a little bit more than she should have when he talked to her and then went to talk to Kaylin. I obviously Kaylin is exaggerating a lot of what Corey did, but it's a very strange conversation overall.
You were talking about when Sam was there too, because there was this conversation. Yeah,
Sam joins them. Like very, yeah.
Sam, and then Sam takes over, and Kaylin does such a messy job with this too, because she keeps on like it becomes more about Sam and her having a conversation. And Adam's just kind of sitting there, mm-hmm. and she kind of keeps like, Kaylin keeps saying like, oh, Adam's eyes are doing like, da-da-da-da-da, and like, she was trying to say like, he won't even look at me. Like I can tell, like she kept on making these comments talking about Adam as if he wasn't there while he was sitting right next to Sam. And, you know, directing the conversation at Sam. Like it was just so bad.
Yeah. And so Dane and Anthony are like seeing what's happening. Anthony's like, Adam's face is so red. The Sam and Kaylin, they're like revealing information. Adam's just sitting there, like looking up, like, they're so mad about this whole thing because they don't like this Sam and Kaylin conflict. They don't like that Adam is taking Sam's side. And so they get so mad at Sam. It's Sam's fault. She needs to go. And they end up talking to Mackie and filling him in on the confrontation that's going on. And, you know, talking about plans for the future. And Mackie's like, yeah, I would be going after Corey. And, you know, these women, they need to go. It's all about the guys. And, you know, they're having this conversation with Mackie. They're starting to maybe feel like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't keep Kira in order to help Sam. Maybe we should think about this a little bit. They didn't say it out loud, but they imply it in a couple conversations throughout the night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. It's really too bad that Mackie doesn't do a better job, because he doesn't sell himself well in order to be kept. And it's really more so just about, you know, who they want to take, like ammunition away from. And so the more that they can build up this, like Sam versus Kaylin war, depending on where they lie on it, then it becomes, you know, a decision between, you know, getting rid of Kira or Mackie. I still feel, I don't know, like this was all like alcohol fuel conversation. Yeah. I really do feel like nothing is actually really going to change.
Yes.
And that it's going to continue to be Mackie going. But yeah, they definitely tried to stir up some stuff last night. It was like nothing better than game talk when everyone's had like a bottle of wine.
Mm. So Kiki and Steph talk some more as well. And so they who are still under the assumption that that Kaylin is trying to flip things on Mackie are finally going to be a little proactive, guys. They're finally going to go and do some stuff. And their plan is they want to go talk to Adam and Sam about Kaylin and how Kaylin's a liar and is coming after them. And they want to reveal all the dirt on Kaylin in order to stop Kaylin's flip to evict Mackie. They want to go to Adam and Sam about this so that they can stop the flip that Kaylin is starting. They are so ahead of the curve here.
Yeah, that's definitely going to stop that flip, that Kaylin, you know, instituted flip. It's it's so difficult to watch them be so off base with what's actually going on here. And you know, going forward with this is only going to pull themselves away from someone that they could pick up with Mackie leaving. Like it's just destroying any of the social capital that they had left.
Yeah, they do have that conversation with Sam. The feed's cut for it though, so we don't really know what happened in it. Unfortunately, hopefully there'll be more retells.
Yeah, a retell today sometime or something. Yeah.
But as we know, you cannot trust the retells very well. Kaylin was retelling her side of the conversation that happened the night that night that we were talking about. And it was like, wait, what? It was like listening to Tamar retell a conversation from Big Brother Celebrity. I was like, wait a minute. I think this is wrong.
I mean, everyone, it, you know, their version of the truth, it always paints them in the best light. And yeah, so, I mean, it's not really shocking, but.
Yeah. So they, Kiki also talks about, they talk about Mark and how he's being sketchy about his vote. And so, Kiki just comes up with a plan that, you know what? If I have to seduce him to make him work for us, yes. I'm willing to bite that bullet. I'll be the best thing that ever happened to him.
I mean, I love this just because any sort of like commentary on like Mark not being as like hot or as amazing as he thinks he is like feeds my soul. So I actually like am dying watching like they're like laying in the bed and they're like cracking the hell up being like, you know what? If I have to make out with him, if I have to showmance a little bit, and like Steph is just like, do it. It's going to be so good. I'm all for any time a woman tries to like take control and, you know, mess with a guy that might have some affection for her.
I'm surprised that this doesn't happen more often.
I know.
Like anytime there's this kind of like a flirtation, it's always genuine, you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. never just playing the game. Except
we're, you know, us humans, Taryn, have real emotions. And
I'm sure, like I'm not saying I could do it. I certainly couldn't, but I want to see I want to see other people do it.
I think it's one of those things where everyone thinks that they can do it.
Probably.
And when you're in there around people 24/7, even the people that, you know, kind of drive you crazy, there's like a human element where you, I don't know, it's really hard to feign interest in people that isn't really there. I like to think that I could do it, and who knows, you know, like,
I think what we're saying is that Kiki is going to develop real feelings for Mark.
Yeah, they are gonna be we're gonna see some Kiki and Mark showmance Twitter accounts popping up in about a week and a half. So
yeah. So I mean, from what I've seen this morning, she is a little flirty this morning with Mark. Yeah. So maybe she will actually go through this one.
I would love it. You know, if their game isn't going to, you know, turn around the way that like there's been a lot of damage done and a lot of things would have to shift for them to be in a power position. If that's not going to happen, I want to see, you know, them do something besides just sit and, you know, talk to each other about how cool each other is. If we get some fake showmancing, flirtation, whatever, that at least it makes it a little bit more entertaining. And I can say, okay, at least Kiki's doing something. So,
yeah. So then finally, Adam and Dane talk. Adam lets Dane know that he can't trust Corey now because he knows that she ran straight to Kaylin after he talked to her. He is still on that this morning. He feels like Corey has betrayed them, and so they can't trust Corey. I feel like if he talks to Corey about this, then they could maybe clear this up and it won't be that big of a deal. I do think that Corey could be a big asset to Adam's game, and he should be able to realize that, especially knowing how much Kaylin was throwing Corey under the bus. I think it should be clear that that's good for him, that a Corey versus Kaylin war would be great, and having Corey on his side would be good as well.
Because what does getting out Corey do for him? Like, yeah. I mean, it did screw Corey over a lot because Kaylin was basically retelling things that Corey said, and it was almost word for word from like the other night when she was out at the hot tub with Sam and Adam. Like the wording of what Kaylin was telling Sam and Adam was like spot on. So they know for sure that they, you know, they can't trust this person. But if Now this gets out and Kaylin knows that she can't trust Corey either. And so like this person has no one. I don't know why people don't utilize the person that is, you know, kind of like they don't have enough power. You can't trust them in this situation. Obviously they're a new person coming into the game. They're trying to grab hold onto, you can understand why someone like that is talking like that, because they're trying to like, you know, establish a bond with anyone mm-hmm. who will pick them up. And I think from Adam's perspective, if he gets too fixated on the fact that she went back to Kaylin, the move is get rid of Kaylin and and keep this person, you know, and show that you can like forgive them for whatever they did. And I just don't know if he has the ability to like swallow his pride, and try to like go back to trusting someone.
Yeah. When somebody throws another person under the bus to you, the move isn't, oh, they're terrible. The move is, okay, so they just threw that person under the bus. Let me use that to throw them under the bus and get close with the person they just threw under the bus. And I think all Corey needs to say is, yeah, I mean, that was an initial conversation that we had. And prior to that, I'd been talking with Kaylin and she was telling me that I couldn't trust you. And so I went to her and I was like wondering if I don't know if I can trust him and stuff like that. But I mean, it's obvious to me now that I've been played, that Kaylin was trying to manipulate me and that I should have been with you all along. I'm so sorry that I went to her with that conversation, but moving forward, I want to work with you. And I feel like it's beneficial for both of them to go along with that line of thinking. So we'll see if that happens, but we'll see if there is even a conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be interesting if it went that way, but I have my doubts in Adam's ability to, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's very emotionally driven, right? So mm-hmm. He likes to think that he's very logical, but I don't see that from him. Yeah. And even his own allies like identify it, like the conversation between Dane and Anthony earlier in the day where they're like, you gotta like toot Adam's horn, and
Anthony knows how to play.
Yeah, I love Anthony. Actually, he's been such a great surprise to me. Like,
I love him except for his obsession with Sam. Everything else is fine.
I mean, yeah, that is the one thing, but it's not. The problem is that Dane and him are basically, it's like when two people have like a common enemy, like all they do is talk about that because that's the thing they connect over. So I do feel like that's like the thread that, you know, like ties Dane and Anthony together. And so when they get together, it's like the opportunity to talk about their common enemy, Sam. So whenever that part gets resolved, otherwise I feel like Anthony is like in such a great position in the house. And as someone, you know, I was at the premiere and like watched all like the packages early. Like I was like, oh, I didn't know how to feel about Anthony going in. And he's been such a great surprise to me. So yeah.
Speaking of Sam and Adam, they did get into a little bit of a weird conversation where, like, usually, you know, for the first few days, it was all about Adam being jealous of Sam and Mark. And now it seems like Sam is a little jealous of Adam and Chelsea.
Yeah.
She feels like maybe, you know, did you just pick me because Chelsea was already in a relationship? It might be one of those things where she feels like Chelsea is prettier than her, and so she has a little bit of an inadequacy issue here.
And I don't know if it was like an alcohol fueled thing. Yeah. Like I know, like obviously when people are drinking, if they have any sort of like insecurity or like, you know, a feeling deep down that they're trying to like stifle, like obviously that is the time that it's going to come out, because we really have like, we've really been seeing Sam as the one who's maybe slightly less into Adam, but how she's handling this conversation is by being like, it's okay. Like we can separate, like we can still work together, but like, you know, this doesn't need to be a thing. And I can see, like, I see the way that you look at her. And I was just like, what? Like,
these people.
But I get, like, I also in a weird way can kind of get it, because like I've also been like drunk girl that's like, why is he looking at her? So it was like, it was, but I'm like, Sam is like way too hot for Adam. I'm sorry. But yeah, like this is not good for, and I'm really hoping that this is maybe, well, what do I care? What do I care about her game? But I feel like this had to have just been like a kind of a drunk emotional moment. But if this is a thing that is happening in like between the two of them, that like Chelsea is like her best girlfriend, and then like this is her dude, like this is not going to go well, and it's going to, it will fester more if that's truly how she feels.
Well, it makes me wonder if this is kind of the motivation behind her saying that she wants to give up her game for Adam. We know that she said that to Adam and to Chelsea. And so I wonder if that's trying to make up for her feeling of inadequacy, feeling like Adam might be more into Chelsea. And so it's like, no, look how much I'm willing to do for you. And hey, Chelsea, look how much I'm willing to do for Adam. This is, it's me and Adam, you know, not you and Adam.
But like the thing is that like Adam is so clearly obsessed with Sam. I think it's just the issue is that Adam is one of those guys that likes attention and likes to feel like the hot guy. And so obviously the way that he, you know, conducts himself when he's not, you know, fixated solely on Sam is, it's going to throw up alarms. So it seems like she was acknowledging that he's into her, but it's more so like, I almost felt like Sam was like insinuating like, oh, in the, like, I don't know how you are outside of the house, but like, are you the kind of guy that, you know, you're not going to be able to like fixate solely on me because I see the way that you also look at Chelsea or do other things or talk to other people. So,
these two, they're made for each other.
They are.
They have, they're both insecure to a large degree here.
And actually, I mean, that doesn't mean made for each other. I almost feel like like it's made for each other in the fact that they're doing the same thing and they're both like incredibly jealous people, but like, that is also just like a disaster waiting to happen.
That is very, very
a relationship
comments.
Like that. Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure, Taryn. Okay. Like, yes, made for each other, made for each other to blow up.
Look, just a life advice, deal with your own insecurities before you inflict them on others. That's really what you should be doing.
I love that meme where it's like on a first date where it's like, please tell me about all of your like deep rooted like trauma and like insecurities and how you're going, like how you're working on them so that you don't project them onto me.
Yeah. So the relationship drama happening with those two. Anyway, Adam talks to Dane. Dane brings up this whole situation of, you know, we were so set and now these two people are being emotional and, you know, maybe things are changing. And Adam's like, no. Things are not changing. We have made up our minds. Mackie is leaving. And Dane's like, okay.
Never mind. Sorry, Dad.
And as we mentioned, emotions were heightened, brains were poisoned. And so this is likely not, you know, going anywhere in particular. I don't think I've seen anything yet this morning that has indicated that Dane has changed his mind. But it is, I do think it indicates that I think that Dane really wants Mackie to stay and he really wants Kira to leave. The one thing that's holding him back every time he thinks about it is, but Mackie might put me up. And so I can't, like, I want him to stay. Even if he does almost put me up, I still might want him to stay, but he's so likely to win a competition, then he might put me up. And so maybe I just can't push that hard because I know he might put me up. So it's just like, he can't make it happen. So I think he's still wavering a little bit and he could be pushed over the edge, but I do not believe he has been pushed over the edge. I still think that he is on board to keep Kira at the moment.
Yeah, it becomes a probability thing where he's saying that, you know, Mackie stays in the game and his probability to win a competition and the probability of him maybe putting up Dane over, you know, however many other people, the likeliness of it is just too risky for him. And I mean, Adam is going to continue, like Adam's the loudest voice in the room. And so Dane does a good job of not being the alpha of that alliance. And so as long as Adam, I think, is pushing this get rid of Mackie train, that Dane is because there's enough logical reason for him also to have Mackie leave. I don't see him pushing back on that as long as that's something that Adam wants as well.
Yes. Again, there's still a few days until the eviction and the plenty could change, but for right
now, I miss Celebrity Big Brother. I feel like I'm like, let's go. Like, I got used to that quick turnaround and it's just like, oh, how many times are we going to talk about this until Thursday?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this week is fine because there's still so much happening and everything's so fluid.
It'll be later that we're like, oh my God.
Once things have solidified and, you know, plans are set in stone for a while, and you know, we might be missing the hectic schedule of Celebrity.
I like it though. Well, maybe like not quite as like hectic as Celebrity Big Brother, but maybe like something in between, like, I don't know, like 4 days between evictions or something.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I feel like the longer evictions on Celebrity were the better ones, because the shorter ones didn't give enough time for anything to change. And so it was, those were the most boring ones. It was like nothing happened over the course of 2 days. All right. So that's what we've got for you from yesterday. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Jenny.
No, I'm trying to think of if there are any other hijinks during the drinking. It seemed like it went by really fast. I don't know.
There were lots of feed cutting last night.
Eddie got a weird like Chippendales lap dance from Adam and Dane, and I'm already like imagining the future DR where Eddie's like, that was disgusting. I'm waiting for that on Wednesday night, I'm hoping.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you. You can thank Jenny for that image if you didn't watch it yourself. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Jenny, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Jenny Autumn. I also post cat photos. So
there you go.
I mean, war of if the you're cat into photos. That. Yeah. No, I mean, your cat photos are great. Your cat looks very different than mine. So you can follow both of us for cat photos. Okay. How about that?
I mean, I'm still going to say my cat.
Everything is a competition to you, Taren.
Everything's a contest. All right. So I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything that happens today on the feeds. And then, of course, Thursday night, we will be live to recap the second live eviction of the season. And we'll have fun with that. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. I will see you next time.
So, you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out, everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.